I was thinking about waiting until we got a few more people, but good morning. Please turn off your pagers, your phones, your whatever you may have that's electronic, Game Boy, you know, Xbox, whatever you might have brought in. Some of us are old school, Becky. Yeah, Game Boy. As we prepare for worship and we listen to Diane's prelude. Thank you, Diane. Again, good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. We are thrilled that you are here, whether this be your home church or whether you're here for the first time. If you would please take an opportunity to fill out the information on the friendship sheet, send that down the row and then back to the middle. That way we have a record of you being here today. And if you are new, please leave us a way to contact you. Phone number, email, whatever that may be. If you take a look at your insert, mine is pink, you'll find some announcements. Today, after the service, we are having our annual church planning retreat. This is going to be in the format of an open house or a commission fair. Lunch is going to be provided, and you'll have an opportunity to hear what all of the commissions do. But if you will open up the insert as well, the full-page insert, it has a list of the different ideas that you can use for serving in any of the individual commissions. And you notice at the top, serving with joy. Because if you can't serve with joy, to me it's almost as if you're not serving. And there are many ways to be joyous in our church each and every week, every month, every year. So take a look, and if any of these strike your fancy, put a check mark in it. And do they go in the offering plate? Great. That way we'll have an idea of people who are willing to serve on commissions this year. And again, we invite you downstairs for lunch and a open house, if you will. Next Sunday is our diaconate training. It will be held right after the 10-10 service. This is for all current and newly elected diaconate. So if you've been a member in the past, you do not need to stay and sign up for serving and prepping. But it's important because the sign-up sheets for the year will be available. We still have the directory list out in the narthex. Please make sure that your information is updated and is correct. I know that our community group is starting up this week, and I don't know, Paul and Randy Seuss, when does yours start, or has it?
Next week.
Okay. I can speak only personally. This has been a phenomenal, I would even say life-changing experience for me being in a community group in the last few years. It has been phenomenal to not only get to know a few members of the church better, but to be able to share our faith in the Lord and our personal lives on a weekly basis. It is a great joy for me, and we encourage any of you, there is a younger group, we're part of that one, and a not as younger group. But I think that all are welcome. Is that correct? We welcome everybody. I hope you do too. Okay.
You were single
Not as young, I think, is what I said. Anyway, if you have any questions, Cindy or I or Paul or Randy Sue would be more than happy to answer them for you. But if it's something that you are thinking about and may be on your heart this year, we would love for you to participate. There are other announcements, and if you'll take a look, we have a very busy calendar this week. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Not seeing any. If you will prepare for our opening hymn number 2, so you don't even have to get too far into the book. It's real easy. Just turn. As we stand and greet each other. Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship. God, you lift us up. Thank you for salvation. God, you call us to serve. Thank you for purpose.
Holy One, even in our darkness, your light shines.
Please pray with me. God, in whom all of our joy begins and ends, we are so thrilled to be here another day, another beginning to a week in which you divine purpose in us. We ask that as we go out this week, we find the joy not only in big things, but in little things. And that we take time to share your story to just one more person. The story that we have learned and have been educated on for years. And we ask this in name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, as was in You may be seated. Please take out the purple Chalice Praise songbook and turn to page number 15. Our song of praise this morning is Great is the Lord. We'll sing both verses. Children, please come forward for a time of sharing. Hi, Reese. Come on. Hi, Carson. You know Colin from preschool, don't you? got a car. Cool. And a plane.
It's a bumblebee.
A bumblebee. Hi. Hi, Reese.
My brother got it from across the country.
Cool. It is so good to see all of you here today. Thank you for coming forward this morning. I have a question for you. I want you to think, what are you good at? What is something that you're good at doing? Are you good at running? Are you good at reading?
I'm good at baseball.
You're good at baseball. Awesome. High five. Caleb and Evan, is there something you guys are good at?
Basketball.
Cool. Soccer. What about you, Max? Tennis. You like playing tennis. I did not know that about you.
It's my favorite.
Really? That's neat.
And I did it a few days ago, and my mom, I tried to bounce it, and I bounced it really high.
You bounced the ball really high. I bet it surprised Mom. That's cool. You know, all of us have something that we're good at. Some people are good at sports. Some people are good at quiet things like reading or drawing. Some people are good at computer games. Some people are good at making new friends. Some people are good at helping mom and dad. Some people are good at washing dishes, even if they don't really like to do it, they know how. Some people are good at making their beds. And other people have to practice that every day because they don't quite have it mastered. I have a silly little song to share with you guys that's kind of about being good at all different things. And my voice isn't real pretty this morning, but the words are funny, so can you listen to my song? All God's children got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or pause or anything you got now. Isn't that kind of funny? All God's critters got a place in the choir. If you think about it, every animal God has made knows how to make some kind of sound. A bumblebee can buzz. A bunny rabbit can hop really quietly. A lion can roar really loud. And there's a place in God's choir for all of us. Some of us sing really well. Some of us play an instrument. Some of us enjoy listening to music. But all of us have something that we're good at. And we can do that to help other people and to share the joy of being alive in the world that God has made. So this week, think about what you're good at, what's fun for you to do. Maybe think about a new thing you would like to learn to be good at. And then think about how that is a gift from God, that you know how to do what you can do, whether it's playing basketball or baseball or tennis, whether it's making new friends or helping mom and dad. Let's have a prayer together this morning. Dear God, we thank you that all your critters and all your children have a place in your choir, a place in your world. Whether we sing low or high, loud or soft, help us to use our gifts to praise you. Bless these children this week, Holy One. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, Amen. And you all can go to worship and wonder or back to sit with mom and dad. Bye, Reese. On the back of your bulletin, there is a list of prayer concerns and joys. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them in worship, and then place that card in the offering later on. Our card shower today is for Janice Cooey. She had rotator cuff surgery this week. She is doing well, but it will be several weeks before she can regain full use of her shoulder. Prayers for Jan and Dan during that recovery time. We appreciate you taking good care of your wife. So please tell her hi from her church family for us. We continue to pray for those who are in treatment for cancer and for many who are struggling with health concerns. I had a call from Gaylene Barnes this week. She is still in Utah recovering from back surgery. She has progressed from being in a wheelchair to being able to use a walker, but her recovery is slow and she has been discouraged. She is so thankful for the cards that she's received from you all. Kathy has a mailing address for her in the church office if you'd like to send an additional card. Prayers for Jack Waltz, who is in Cheyenne. He's receiving treatments twice a day to fight an infection that had caused some paralysis on the left side of his face. He shared with me this week that the paralysis was deeper than what the physical effects, the visual effects were showing. So I'm very glad that he is there and getting such good treatment. Judd Johnson, Justin Johnson, Gene's son, Jet's dad, Carson and Kellen's granddad, suffered a severe injury in a rodeo accident. He had surgery on his hand in Denver. He had a thumb that was nearly severed. They're not sure yet if he'll be able to regain full use of that hand. So prayers of recovery for him. He's very thankful that we're praying for him, and he said it's really up to God, whatever happens next. Prayers of sympathy to Linda Mosteller and family. Her aunt Sarah Kuhn passed away on Thursday. She was not feeling well and was hospitalized on Saturday and then had a sudden massive heart attack and was quickly gone. Prayers for her son and daughter-in-law, Gary and Clara Kuhn, and for Sarah's daughter, Mary Louds. Prayers of comfort for all of their family. An update on Marie Robertson. This week, Melanie took her a poinsettia from church. Paul and I went to visit her on different days. She is home. Her health right now is stable. She's feeling pretty good, very clear-minded. But she's at a point in life where, because of her age and numerous health conditions, the family is aware that after the current dose of medication, the current round she's on ends, there may not be much more the doctors can do to keep her stable and healthy. So she is under hospice care. Marie prefers at this time not to have an abundance of visits or phone calls, but she's very thankful for cards and for your prayers. So please think of Marie and send her a greeting in writing if you have time to do so. The missionary we're lifting up today is John Campbell Nelson, as he serves in Indonesia. And our regional prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary is for Jennifer Force. She is the administrative assistant in the regional office in Denver. Her mother died unexpectedly early in the month, so prayers of comfort for Jennifer. An update from the Regional Minister Search Committee. They have narrowed down the list of candidates to a final candidate. That name will be presented to the regional board, and then pending board approval will be announced for all of us. So we are getting closer to having a new regional minister, which is exciting. Dean Phelps this past week traveled to Cheyenne for our Northern District clergy meeting, and it was probably his last trip to Wyoming before he concludes his service. So we give thanks to God for Dean and pray for blessing upon our next leader. Are there other concerns today that we want to lift up, prayers that we want to offer together, or joys to share? Way in the back, Debbie. What a blessing. Thank you for sharing that with us, Debbie. Timothy, an individual at the Sandwich Ministry, asked prayers for Travis Weber, who has applied for the discipleship program at the Central Wyoming Rescue Mission. This is an extended course of study where individuals learn both about the Christian faith and about basic life skills. And they move from the transitional emergency shelter to an extended housing program that provides support while they work and try to be reestablished in the community. So prayers for Travis as he makes that journey. Carmen, I think your hand was up. Keith.
Just prayers and guidance for another successful semester this coming semester starting Tuesday. And also some for prayers and discernment, patience, and wisdom, where there's more loopholes we're jumping through for workman's comp. So please just keep us in our prayers as things kind of unfold. So please and thank you.
Prayers for the Rouse family, both in a new semester at college and for more holes to jump through in the workman's comp process. The justice might finally be done for you all, and you'll receive the support you need. It's been a long haul. Diane.
My friend Jeff, his wife died unexpectedly this week. It was a shock.
Prayers for Jeff, who was shocked by his wife's death.
Prayers for Dave Foster. They're going down to Denver for another checkup. He has an infection in the ear that he had surgery on. So prayers for safe travel and for to be fixed.
Yeah. Prayers for Dave and Becky as they head back to Denver for treatment. Let us turn to God now in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Holy and gracious God, you are the only one who knows each and every one of your children before we ever take our first breath and after we breathe our last. Thank you, O God, for all the ways in which you comfort and challenge us during our life on earth. We pray this day for Janice Cooey as she recovers from shoulder surgery, for Gaylene that her back may continue to heal, for Jack as his body fights infection. God, we ask for healing for Dave Foster as he returns to Denver for treatment for an ear infection following surgery after his serious accident last year. Lord, be with Dave and Becky, with safe travels on the road to and from Denver, and safe travels through life as they face one health concern after another. Lord, we continue to pray for our brother in Christ, Keith Rouse, for the ongoing struggle that he is living with pain in his back from a work-related injury and pain in his soul and his psyche from workman's comp taking far too long to agree to the treatment he needs. Lord, we continue to pray for patience for the Rouses, for courage to fight, to stand for what is right. We ask for doors to open and surround them with the support of your spirit and this community. Lord, we pray for all students who are returning to classes that they may study and learn well. We thank you for teachers and school staff. Bless them all. Oh God, we pray for those who are grieving, for Linda and family at the passing of Aunt Sarah, for a friend, Jeff, whose wife died suddenly, for others who know grief. God, we thank you for those who know joy, especially for those who have found for the first time the joy of being in relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you for the story that Timothy shared at Sandwich Ministry, and we pray your blessing upon Travis Weber as he works to climb out of homelessness, to leave behind the struggles he may have known in his life, and to walk closely with you, O Christ. Lord, we pray for your healing hand to be on Jack and Judd and Marie. Each one needs different healing, and Lord, you know where they are in life and what is blessed. We pray for Jennifer Force, for our regional staff, for Dean Phelps, and the soon-to-be-named regional minister. Lord, we ask your blessing upon John Campbell Nelson as he serves in Indonesia and missionaries around the world. We pray for those recovering from storms and natural disasters. We pray for refugees seeking safe refuge. And we pray for the President of the United States, soon to be passed and soon to be installed. Oh God, bless the leaders of this great nation. Bless the leaders of our state. Guide them with wisdom. Holy One, we thank you for the gifts that you have placed within your church, universal, and within this congregation. We pray that in the coming year, we may each find a way to use our gifts to serve you with great joy. In Jesus' name, we pray and we live. Amen. When we talk about things that people are good at, many examples come to mind, one of which is our pianist, Diane. Thank you for your music. Wow. I have never quite experienced Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee as it was shared today. Thank you. Some people are good at cooking, and some are not as good. My mother-in-law made the world's best lemon meringue pie, but there were other things that weren't as great that came out of her kitchen. She was kind of a functional cook. She was a very wise woman because she taught both of her sons to cook well. So I am blessed to be married to someone who makes terrific chicken and cheese enchiladas that he can share with friends when they come over for dinner. And he is blessed, whether he knows it or not, to be married to someone who, like his mother, is a functional cook, who goes in the kitchen and says, well, it's late, we haven't eaten anything, we need to eat something, what's in the cupboard? And she puts together a meal that might have ingredients that aren't found in any cookbook going together, but it keeps us from starving. Some people are really good at cooking a fancy recipe, and some just feed people. When we come to the Lord's table, the ingredients are awfully simple. A bite of bread and a cup of juice. And yet, truly, it is a recipe for love. For in the heart of worship, the bread becomes the very body of Christ. And the fruit of the vine becomes for us a sign of forgiveness and salvation, poured out upon the world through the very blood of Jesus. Whether you're a good cook or not, my guess is you're probably pretty good at eating. Most of us know how to put food in our mouths and chew and swallow. Some savor every bite and can write an eloquent food critique. Others just fuel their body to keep right on going, but all of us know how to eat. This day, may you eat and feed not just your body, but your soul as well, as you share in the Lord's Supper. All who are here who believe in Christ are invited to partake in communion and serve the person next to you. We'll prepare for the Lord's Supper by singing together number 392, Draw Us in the Spirit's Tether. Thank you. As we come to the Lord's table, we remember the night when he met with his friends. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Lord, we pray that you would still our minds and quiet our hearts as we approach this communion table today. We ask that you would draw each one of us into ever closer fellowship with yourself as we partake together of the bread and the cup, in grateful remembrance of what you did for each one of us on Calvary's cross. Amen.
As Cindy mentioned, Friday night we enjoyed an evening of food and fellowship. We enjoy playing games, and so the friends that came over, we asked to bring over a couple of their favorite games. And one game that they brought over was a game called Things. Basically, somebody reads a card that says, things, you fill it in, and then everybody has to come up with an answer, and then you try to guess what other people's answers were. One of the questions, one of the cards said, things that you wish grew on trees. Now, I put naps, because I'm not stupid. You know. Two of the five put money. It's a phrase we hear all the time, right? But money doesn't grow on trees. It takes hard work for us to make money. And I think when God said that he loves a cheerful giver, it's because he knew that it was so difficult to get. Today, serve with joy, give with joy. Recognize the theme happening here? We are to do all things through God in joy. And so today, as you give your tithes and offerings, please do so with the greatest amount of joy that you can possibly imagine. Our diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Lord, we ask that you take these gifts that we give with joy and use them to spread the joy of your creation, of your work, and of your Son through Casper and to the ends of the earth. Amen.
tree down with the little one. Holy cow, what a thing. I'll just put this down. I can't stand up. So, well, you can't beat that choir song, can you? I'll be reading from the book of Psalms, and it will be 40, Psalm 40, and 1 through 10. If you'll find that on 513, should you like to follow with me in your book ahead of you in your Bible. Thanksgiving for deliverance and prayer for help. Now, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips. No, I don't. That isn't written there. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. Thank you for listening to the reading of Psalm.
The psalmist continues, I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. Our second reading today is from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my strength, my God, has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that joyous anthem today. Will you pray with me? O Lord, you have formed us. Even in the womb, you knew us, and you call us forth in joy. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts this day bring you delight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The book Isaiah includes the overarching themes of hearing God's call. Early in the book, we hear the prophet Isaiah speak of his own call when he stands before the Lord and says, "Woe is me. Who am I to be called to speak in front of people?" And then he describes the vision of a seraph coming and taking hot coals from the altar of incense in the temple and touching them to his mouth, that he might speak and become a prophet for God. Throughout Isaiah, time and time again, we hear of God calling to God's people. This morning, on the second Sunday of Epiphany, the lectionary texts include both the passage from Isaiah 49 and Psalm 40 that Peg read for us. They have in common a theme of people who know both darkness and light, of people who struggle and yet find joy. The psalmist speaks of how God has given a new song. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And when that song is shared, many will see and trust the Lord. The text we find today from Isaiah is included in what scholars refer to as Deutero-Isaiah or Second Isaiah. Through the years, as biblical scholars have studied the prophets, they have determined, based on the literary content and context of the book of Isaiah, that most likely the writing included in that one book came actually from two different prophets that was merged together. It was composed during the era of the Babylonian exile, when God's people were held captive and then finally returned back to Jerusalem. Specifically, Isaiah 49 is part of what is called the Servant Songs. Chapters 40 to 55 is a collection of poems about the servant called to speak for God. 49 is the second of the Servant Songs. And it begins, "Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away." It is clear that this word is not just for the Israelites, the Hebrew people, God's chosen ones, but for any and all in the world who would listen. "The Lord called me before I was born. While in my mother's womb, he named me." What a miracle it is that God knows us before we take our first breath. Even when we are being formed in our mother's womb, hidden away in darkness, God sees and knows. God loves us and calls us by name. Each one of us is a precious child of God, and God alone knew us before we breathed our first and would continue to know us after we breathe our last. The prophet goes on, "He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away." As I read this passage multiple times during the week, I discovered that more than one commentator refers to this verse as talking about God's secret weapon, a polished arrow hidden away. A mouth like a sharp sword that will speak the word of the Lord that is held in the shadow of God's hand. God's secret weapon is plain old ordinary people. What a shock and a surprise it was to the world when the Messiah came in the form of Jesus, not born in a royal palace, but laid as a babe in a manger in a cattle stall. No one was expecting the Son of God to be so humble. God's secret weapon is to choose to use plain old ordinary human beings to do miraculous and holy things. Sometimes, as God's people, we are tempted to think we're not enough. We're not smart enough or rich enough or powerful enough or young enough or old enough or fast enough or strong enough. Fill in the blank. And yet we are exactly who God chooses to continue to surprise the world. Time and time again in Scripture, God calls people who appear to be the least qualified. Moses, "Lord, I'm a stutterer, don't make me speak." Paul, thrown in jail multiple times, kind of like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., arrested for preaching God's word of justice and peace and nonviolence in our world. Time and time again, through Scripture and through history, God chooses the least expected to do the unexpected. When we look at ourselves, we say, "I don't have the gifts for that. Someone else needs to do ministry, not me." Well, sure, we can look around and find people, even here in our own pews, who have incredible gifts that are not our own. But each one of us has a gift that God has planted within us. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, "I'm not very good at much. I don't know about this insert thing in the bulletin that asks people to serve on the commissions. I'm not really good at going to meetings." Okay, don't attend a commission meeting. Just help out sometime during the year. Perhaps you're thinking, "I'm not real good at standing up in front of people and talking, but I sure like gabbing on the phone." Guess what? That's a gift God can use. To have you make a phone call to someone who is homebound and shut in and unable to be connected with the church family, except through a friendly phone call asking, "How are you today?" Oh, sure, that's great, you're thinking to yourself. "I have a phone phobia." Okay, that's not your gift. Perhaps instead you can write a prayer card to offer words of encouragement to someone. Send a note to lift them up. Say a prayer. Oh, yes, you can think of so-and-so who sits in that other pew who's really good praying, leading prayers during worship. "Lord, please don't make me stand up at the table and pray." Okay, that's not your gift. Perhaps your gift is to work behind the scenes with your hands, getting dirty for Jesus. Cal Decker is a great example of that for all of us. This past year, he served as our property chair, and he's led our congregation through multiple stages of a capital campaign building project. The windows in our sanctuary have been reframed and cleaned and restored, and we now have new energy-efficient double-pane windows that keep the sanctuary quieter and warmer. There are three more windows still downstairs that Cal has just finished framing. They need to be cleaned and sanded and stained. You can look at them after the service. Later this summer, the roof over the Christian Ed wing will be redone. When you talk with Cal, he says, "It wasn't me, it was all the church. Everyone in the congregation pitched in to fund the capital campaign." He said, "I just got to spend your money." He had a fun time doing it. Not only that, he stayed on top of timelines and supervising work with multiple contractors. Thank goodness that was his job and not mine. I have delighted to work with Cal in the last year as our property chair because he brings such joy to this task. For many years, Cal and Monica were members of our congregation, and he kind of stood on the edges. He sat quietly in the pew and showed up and went home. But then he retired. And somewhere along the way, he got this burning desire to keep working a little bit. And someone mentioned to him, "Well, you know, First Christian Church has this thing called a property commission." I remember when Cal was asked to co-chair the property commission last year, to work alongside someone else. He said, "Well, I don't know if I can really do that. I can't really run a meeting, but I'll come along and I'll help." What a journey it's been from that shy, reluctant, "Okay, I'll be on the commission," to being the person who has led the charge for us to restore the life of our building. Cal's a perfect example of someone serving with joy using the gifts that he has. Some of us have gifts that we've inherited simply because of the family that we're born into. I think of the Johnson clan that we're holding in prayer today. Kellen and Carson, like their dad, like their granddad, are learning to rodeo, and they do it with joy. It's a pretty amazing skill to be able to throw a lariat and lasso a cow from the back of a racing horse. They do it not just in an arena, but out on the ranch as a livelihood. Another multi-generation family in our congregation that seems to inherit a gift and passed it on is Ted and Nicholas Grooms. Just because Ted Grooms is a CPA, it doesn't mean by default that his son would be born into that profession. And yet perhaps there's a natural knack for numbers, an inclination, an inner gift that directed him in that way. And then Nicholas went off to college and studied and gained his license and now has joined his dad in the family practice. Ted has served on our Stewardship Commission and Investments Committee here at First Christian for more years than any of us can count. And we're so thankful for him. Ted has found a way to use his life skill and his professional vocation as his avocation and his service to God, his answer to God's call. Nicholas, on the other hand, has told me, "You know, I do math and numbers and finances all day long. I want to do something fun at church." So he's been an elder and board chair and Sunday school teacher and community group leader. What are you good at? My guess is maybe you're sitting there thinking, "Well, I'm not a CPA, and I'm not a construction manager like Cal. I just like to bake cookies." Terrific! You can bake cookies for Jesus. You could bake cookies and bring them for the coffee and fellowship hour, or deliver them with our CWF to Seton House or the Youth Crisis Center, or bake fresh homemade cookies for the sandwich ministry on a Saturday morning or for youth group on a Wednesday night. Each and every one of us, whether we want to brag about it publicly or not, actually has something that we're good at, something that we enjoy doing that's fun. Maybe we're not as good at it as somebody else, and it's not something we could ever make a living doing, and yet we can use that skill, that ability, that gift to serve the Lord. The insert in your bulletin describes the work of our different commissions, and it's divided up by simple little tasks that each one of us can do. My guess is many of us in the congregation could probably find one thing on each of those commission lists that we could put a check mark by and say, that sounds kind of fun. I'd encourage you this morning to look over that list. Maybe there's something that just jumps out right away. You're ready to put a check mark and sign your name, toss it in the offering tray. Maybe instead you want to take it home and think about it. Maybe there is something that God has put on your heart to encourage you to do to serve the church that doesn't show up on this list at all. Write it in. My encouragement to you, my friends, is when you look over this list of the ministries shared by our congregation through our commissions, don't pick the thing that sounds like work, even if it's something you're good at. Pick the thing that sounds like fun, that would give you joy to be able to do. Maybe you love to sing, but you're busy on Wednesday night and you can't come to choir rehearsal. You can sing a solo or play an instrument. Maybe you would rather listen to the music and know that no one else wants to hear you try to make music, but you have a different gift you can share. Whatever that might be. Perhaps your gift is simply to be faithfully present and encourage and support others. Perhaps your gift is to pray quietly for people who are struggling and hurting in the world around us. The amazing truth that we find in Isaiah 49 is that God uses ordinary people. The Lord says, the Lord who formed me in the womb to be his servant, the Lord says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations. This is an interesting text. The servant in this passage is called by the name Israel. The servant being described is simultaneously the nation of God's chosen people, the Israelites, the ancient Hebrew people, and the Messiah, the one who was yet to come, whom we know as Jesus Christ. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant just to the tribes of Jacob and Israel. When this passage was written, the Babylonian exile had ended, and there was great rejoicing, for 40,000 people came back home, and yet God says, that's too little of a thing. I want you to serve not just my chosen people, but all the world. It's as if God is saying to us, the church, I am calling you to serve one another to help the church, but I'm also calling you to be a light to the world, to reach out so far beyond yourselves. God uses ordinary, everyday people like us. The servant in this servant song speaks of how I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity. In Hebrew, the word is hebel. It's just stuff. I wasted my time, and yet, surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God. Perhaps you find yourself thinking, I could have done so much for the Lord, but I was busy doing other things. The good news in this text is it's not too late. You can start serving God now, even if you've never done it before. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One is one despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Jesus was among the lowest of people, a carpenter's son. Though he came from the king of the universe and is the prince of peace, in the eyes of the world, he wasn't much. So if you look at yourself and say, my gifts aren't all that great, I'm not smart enough or wise enough or fill in the blank enough, the good news is for God. You are not worthless. You are worth full. Your simple gifts are full of worth. When you share them in Jesus' name, whatever they may be. Each and every member of our congregation has a gift that can be lifted up and we give thanks for. Josh Woods is a great photographer, and today, during our open house downstairs, we'll see a slideshow that he's prepared of pictures from ministry in the last year. Josh isn't a professional photographer. It's not how he makes his money and his living, but it's a joy, a gift and a talent that he has, and we're so blessed he shares it with the church. Each and every one of us has a gift that God can use. Perhaps this week, as you pray through this list, you might discover a gift you have that you've never shared before, but you're willing to try. May it be so, and may it bring you great joy to serve the Lord in 2017. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 455, You Have Called Me. There may be someone this morning that God is calling in a new and special and specific way. Perhaps there is one among us that God is calling to a life of ministry or a moment of ministry. Perhaps there is someone here who is moved to give their heart to Jesus or to renew their relationship with the divine. Or if you're looking for a church home, we would invite you to come forward and place your membership here at First Christian, either by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. Let us stand and sing together, You Have Called Me. Thank you. remind you that tomorrow our community will observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day, also known in Wyoming as Equality Day. There's a community rally at City Park at 11 a.m., and participants will walk from there to the First Methodist Church downtown, where there'll be a celebration and worship service with music. There's a lunch being served at Serve Wyoming, Wyoming's Food for Thought program. And then in the afternoon, as a way of honoring the memory of Dr. King, there's an opportunity of service in the community. There will be some preparations made for the Point in Time Homeless Count on Saturday, and all are welcome to participate in those events. Today, immediately following our final prayer, we're having lunch downstairs. There's sub sandwiches waiting. There's plenty of food for all. And I do encourage you to stay for lunch. After everyone's seated with some food, Josh will share his slideshow up on the screen. And then there are tables set up, and our commission chairs are available for you to talk and visit with each commission chair today in an open house format. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for calling us to serve in your name. We thank you that like Jeremiah and Isaiah, you formed us and knew us and named us, even in our mother's wombs. Lord, we confess sometimes we feel inadequate, and yet we long to serve you. Equip us, O God, to serve with joy, to boldly share the gifts you have planted within our lives, that we may become a light to all the nations. In Christ's name, amen.